Hello, Pastor Salem's timeless biblical teachings through his messages touch lives all over the world. He had a gift to be able to share God's word in a way that people can understand and apply to their life. I'm Mike Salem. We are delighted to read your letters and respond with resources to help and encourage you. From North Carolina, one note reads, I wrote you several months ago asking for prayer for my husband's upcoming surgery. His surgery was a success. He is recovering so well. I asked, and you helped so much by your prayers. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Praise God. If you would like us to pray for you, simply go to our website at cwh.org and submit your request on our encouragement tab. Our team is committed to lifting you up in prayer. Now, let's join Dad for the first of two sermons on Peter. Today, The Downward Steps of Peter speaks about the events in Peter's life that led to his downfall. Next week, tune in for Dad's second message on Peter, highlighting the changes Peter makes. May God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. We're always happy to come to your home, and we just thank you all for letting us come in. And someday, we can't see each other now. Well, you can see us, but shortwave folks can't see us. But we'll see face to face. We'll see Jesus face to face. We'll meet all of you dear friends all over the world. And I just can't wait. Won't that be a great day when we get together? And won't we celebrate in the presence of Jesus and sing his praises? I just can't wait sometimes. Well, we're going to be looking at Peter today and our sermon. So if you have a friend you want to call him, we're going to have two sermons on Peter, the downward steps of Peter and how it led to how that he denied the Lord. And then the next Sunday, the upward steps, how he came back to Jesus. And so that's a beautiful story and a lot of good lessons. So just tell your friends about that. But we're looking at Psalm 71, beginning with the 16th verse. I will go into the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things. O God, who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again, and shall bring me again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your help. We just love you, dear Lord, and we know that you love us, and you demonstrated that love when you went to the old rugged cross, shed your blood to pay for our sins. And though you were in the grave 3 days and three nights, the third day you were raised from the grave and you'll live forever. And you live in our hearts right now. And someday we're going to see you face to face. Bless us in this service, Lord. Honor your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jan's going to sing for us a song I know you'll love and know. It is well with my soul. And God bless you, Jan.
When peace like a river attends my way.
Thank you, Jan. You know, that's a good question. It is well with my soul. And you know, there's some people say, well, I won't know till I meet God, whether it's all right or not. I don't know for sure if I'll get to heaven till I meet God. My grandmother was like that. She was just the dearest, wonderful Christian lady in the world, but she was never sure. Well, you know, but John writes in the first epistle, these things have I written unto you that ye may know that you have salvation. You can know you have salvation. That's not presumptuous. That's just taking God at his word. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And this is what you can do. You ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and take away your sins. Just tell him you're a sinner. And you ask him to take away your sins and promise to forsake those sins. That's repentance. And then thank him. You pray that prayer and you have eternal life and you will never perish. And you can say, yes, it's well with my soul. Praise God. Well, our letters. Oh, I love these letters. And I hope more of you will write. And you get your pencil and paper out because pretty soon I'm going to give the address. And oh, we'd love to hear from you. And send a gift if you can too, because we are dependent upon God's people. We don't have any denomination or organization or anything like that supporting us. It's the people of God worldwide. My announcements, I'm going to tell you how you can send money from any part of the world and we'll get it in American currency. It is a miracle. And maybe you'd like to work a miracle. So just wait till we get to our announcements. But here's one of the letters. And the first one is Omaha, Nebraska. And this is from a Korean vet. I would like you to pray for me. I'm so tired of how our country is being run. I'm 85 years. Government statistics say that 58% of our people in the United States are addicted to drugs. The devil's communion, he puts in parentheses. I never heard that before, but it's exactly right. He says, addicted to drugs, the devil's communion. There are so many people robbed, beaten, raped, or killed because of the drugs. I'm a Korean vet, and I was proud of our country to be one of those GIs that loved our country and fought and gave their home and died for the USA. No more. We're a country of sin. Thank you for bringing Jesus to me and all the others. You are the gospel preacher. You know, he's got a point. America, we need to pray for America. We pray for the other world parts of the world, and rightly so. But we need to pray for the United States of America. For one thing, the drug traffic, but something else just as bad or maybe worse, and that is abortion. Killing the babies by the millions. How's God going to bless that? How's God going to keep from punishing that? I tremble for America. So we need to get back to God, get back to the Bible. So I want to thank this vet here and just let him know that God's going to have the last word. He's going to rule and reign, and we're going to rule with him. But he's heartsick, and we all ought to be heartsick over the plight of America, the sins of America. Here's McMillan, Michigan. I tell my friends how wonderful you Christians are and which channel to watch. And I underline this, I tell my friends. And I just wish all of you would do that. You know, I had one man, and I'm sure he's going to be with the Lord because I never hear from him anymore. He was in Florida. And he had a list of five or six people. He called them every week before the service, just before the service, called them to remind them. So if you would tell everybody, we could reach twice as many people as we're having if you just tell people about it. Tell them they got a 96-year-old preacher and see if he can get through the sermon without collapsing. And they'll all tune in. Then they'll bet money. No, don't bet money. Just watch. We'll see what God does. Here's Galena, Missouri. Dear Pastor Salem, God bless you. I love your generation. He's talking to old people, 96, 97 years old. He says, I love you. I love your generation. I am a young man. He says, I'm a young man with pervasive development disorder, a type of autism. I enjoy your sermons. And when I read that, I thought, you know, you need old people and you need young people. That's why God has it that way. He'd have us all young or all old, but he has the old and the young. And the old need the young and the young need the old. And it's a beautiful mix. Here's, Davenport, North Dakota. This is a little girl, 9 years old. I'm sending my tithe of $23 to you for the Christian Worship Hour. I still pray for you every night. God bless, Livia, 9 years old. And I'm underlining this, my tithe. You know, my mother taught us to tithe. If we had 10 cents, we'd give a penny to the Lord. And my mother used to tithe, and it was during the Depression. You have no idea what the Depression was like. None. It was desperate. The only income we had was the milk, the cream that we would take into the creamery every Saturday. And we would take that cream over to the creamery, and he would figure it, and he would give us a check for that amount of cream. And Mother would then we'd go to the Red Owl store and get that many groceries. But the first thing my mother ever did, she took out 10% in the Depression years. So I kind of wonder sometimes, you say you can't give anything. Maybe you can't, I don't know. But I know my mother did. And this little girl, that's exactly what you need to do. Everything belongs to God, and all he asks is 10%. Unless you make a lot of money. And then he says, give as God has prospered him. And R.G. Letourneau gave 90% to the Lord, and he lived on 10%. And every time I say that, somebody will say, yeah, if I had as much money as R.G. Letourneau, I'd give 10% to the Lord. I'd give that to the Lord, too. I said, do you tithe now? No. Well, then you wouldn't if you had $1 million. You wouldn't do it, see. So you have to start out right. Give it to the Lord. The store belongs to Him. We just work in it. Well, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Here's another one from a 13-year-old boy. We just hear, I love to hear from the children. It just blesses my heart. Now, he's talking about his grandparents. I want to thank you and the Christian Worship Hour staff for your ministry. My grandpa and grandma died a couple of weeks ago, only 4 days apart. My grandma died after having a stroke. My grandpa died of heart failure. My grandpa and grandma were unable to go to church, and they watched your sermons, the music, and even your jokes. Oh, wow. He says, my grandpa was funny, and you are too. Oh, that is good. I have to frame that. Then he says, I attend church, but I also watch your services on TV. Thank you for explaining the Bible and teaching us about Jesus. Our family misses grandpa and grandma, but we're comforted knowing we will see them all again in heaven when Jesus calls us home. Your friend in Christ, 13 years old. Well, I read that because it's a young boy writing, and that's so beautiful. And I read it also because he's talking about his grandma and his grandpa. They had a big influence on this young man, and a spiritual influence on his life. And all of you grandparents, you live for Jesus. If you know Jesus, you're living for Him, but watch your P's and Q's, what you say and what you do. Don't get crabby. Snap at people and don't get after the kids and just be sweet and just tell them about Jesus. You know Jesus for years. Tell them about Jesus. Here's White Bear Lake, Minnesota. My husband got saved when he was 80 years old. And after he was saved, he always listened to Christian Worship Hour. He died this year. I go to church on Sunday, but I still can listen to some of the program. You know, there's not many people in their 80s that accept the Lord. If you're 80, 90, 70, 80, 90, you're a mutt in a rut, and you don't change much. But if you don't know Jesus, you need to listen and you need to accept Jesus. And this man did, and he was saved, 80 years old. And if we could just get some of you older people, get you gray heads, get right with God. You're never right with God till you have Jesus in your heart. And you'll never have him in your heart till you ask Him there. He won't come unless you ask Him. Hope you'll do that. Fresno, California. We are able to be blessed by your ministry recently. Wanted to have a part with a financial gift. I began pastoring 62 years ago, but due to health reasons, we are now accept other ways of serving the Lord Jesus. God has been blessed by us and our family with appointments, but with appointments we serve Him. So here's he's carrying on, and he's not going to quit until the Lord takes him home. One more letter, Mitchell, Nebraska. You are our church family, even though we never met. Someday we will. We've got our reservations made. We're waiting for Jesus to come and take us home. And that's the way we all are, young or old. You know, the young can go. You know, the Germans have a saying, the young can go, but the old must go. Well, some of the young go. And so you need to make that decision for the Lord. The minute you get that invitation, ask Him into your heart, in your own words, in your own way. And then you live for Jesus and you start reading that Bible, read the Gospel of John, and get into a church where you can serve Jesus, where you can give and where you can take and grow in grace in the fellowship of others. Get a church where they're preaching the Bible. It won't take you long. When you get in there, just see what he's preaching and does he believe the Bible is the Word of God. And then just go from there. Well, we want to thank all of you for writing, but we need to hear your more letters, and we need to have gifts to help us on the way. And if you want to write to us, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you'd like to have a little Bible study that we have, it's called The New Song. This month of February, we're talking, what is love? What is love anyway? And maybe you really love it, maybe you don't. And it's all from the Bible. It's a Bible study, so it's going to be in the Bible. And you write to us. And then we need to have your help. We have to pay our way just like anybody else. We're not complaining about that. The gospel of Jesus Christ can pay its way just as well as the next guy. If the beer companies can pay all that money, we can pay it too. But we have to have your help. And so you can write to us. I've got it on the screen there. But all of you are a short wave people. We just think of you so often because you can't see and you can't see us. But we can minister to you, and you can help us. And you write to us. It's Christian Worship Hour. Get your pencil out there, unless you can remember it. I don't know. Maybe you can. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota. Aberdeen, South Dakota, USA. And if you send a gift, we're going to use it 100% in the proclamation of the gospel. And for instance, on a shortwave people, we are on 90, we reach 90% of the world's population. Can you imagine that? And so we're just praying that I know many of you are coming to Jesus, and some of you are getting you're under pressure and you're suffering for the Lord. And we know we have persecuted church people listening. We pray for them every service without fail. And God knows all about it. And the fact that you stand for the Lord encourages all of us all over the world for us to stand up for Jesus too. Who knows the way the world's going? Maybe all of us will have to stand up for him and give our life for him. And so then you write to us and send your gift. Now you say, well, I don't know how you use it. Maybe use half for yourself and half for the ministry. How do I know? Well, you know, because we're a member of an international organization. It's called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Evangelical Council, Financial Accountability. They audit our books, not only what we get, but how we spend it. And it's all to the glory of God. And so we have to have your help. You help us out. So what we're going to do now, I'm going to pray, Jan's going to play, and then you pay, you ask God, should I support this ministry? How much should I send, Lord? And we'll just be happy with that. God will provide. So dear Lord, thank you for your people who have been so faithful over almost 30 years. Thank you, many of them with you in heaven now, but new ones are coming. For that we give you thanks in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you for your help in the ministry honoring Jesus. We're reading from Matthew chapter 26 today. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 26. And we're going to have two sermons about Peter, the downward steps of Peter and the upward steps of Peter. And so the first week, we're going to look at the downward steps and how he went down and swore and denied Jesus. We all know the story. And then next week, Lord willing, we're going to see what happened to Peter and how he came back and how he was restored. And it ends up just beautiful. As you might know, with Jesus in it, it's going to end up just right. So we're looking at Matthew 26, verse 31, and it says, "Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I'll go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. Now skip down to verse 69, and we're going to see what happened to Peter. "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him." Where are these maids coming from? "And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him, That you were there, this fellow is also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out, and he wept bitterly." Dear Heavenly Father, Peter sinned here. He denied you. But I wonder how many times I've denied you. There's been times I didn't speak up for you when I should have. I just kept quiet. And so, Lord, maybe there's others, too, that just didn't stand up for you when we should have, and we let you down, Lord. And so I just thank you that we have this story to warn us so that we don't get caught into this thing and fall like Peter fell. And so let's just look at the lessons today, Lord, and keep us from denying you and failing you. But we thank you that there's always a way back. And next week, we're going to look at that, Lord. You took him back with open arms. Are you ever beautiful? Are you ever wonderful? Your wonderful grace and forgiveness. We just love to preach about it. It's so wonderful. And Lord, maybe there's somebody like Peter today. Maybe just last night they denied you or they sinned against you. And help them come back right now and just ask you into their heart and ask you to forgive them. And you'll forgive them freely, freely. So now, Lord, we just want to pray for our brother, the persecuted church. We prayed for our brothers and sisters in Somalia. We know that this is one of the hard places. I guess it's maybe the second hardest place on earth to live the Christian life. Many of them are dead, and many of the churches are desecrated and burned down and knocked down, and their children are scattered, and they don't know where they're at. And, oh, Jesus, help them. And so help them to know that we love them and we appreciate them. We're so proud of them that they make that stand. And we wish that we had that faith. And maybe we do have that faith if we came right down to it. I just pray to God that I would do that. But, oh, I don't know, Lord. And so we just pray for the persecuted church in Somalia. Now bless us in the service today that all we say and do will honor Jesus, that beautiful, beautiful Jesus. In his name, amen. And Hank's going to sing for us, Here I Am. God bless you, Hank.
There was a time when I thought I would not make it. All I could do was to fall down and pray. Through the problems and through the fears, I know Jesus was very near. By his grace here I am today.
Here I am,
though battle scarred.
Here I am,
I've come so far, and my faith is even stronger than before.
Here I am,
I made it through.
Here I am,
Lord, thanks to you, I'll never doubt your love for me anymore. There was a time when I did not have a friend, when I didn't handle things the way I should. As I look back, I did not understand. Now I can see God's mighty hand, how he took something bad and made it good.
Here I am without a fear. Here I am through the tears, and my faith is even stronger than before. Here I am,
I made it through.
Here I am,
Lord, thanks to you, I'll never doubt your love for me anymore. I'll never doubt your love for me anymore. Here I am.
God bless you, Hank. And that's what we all want to be, open to the Lord, open to the leading of the Spirit, walking with Jesus. Only way to travel, only way to go. All right, the downward steps of Peter, and we want to look at the events that led to his downfall today, then next week coming back, and now that's beautiful. But when we see what happened with Peter in his life, maybe it can help us, keep us from maybe falling into some sin or denying the Lord. But this all takes place. It was night, and the moon was full. We know that because it was during the Passover feast at that time of the year, and they had had this meeting in the upper room, and then they had sung a hymn in the upper room. Then they left that and went to the temple, and they'd gone out then into the streets of Jerusalem, and then they passed through the gate and went down through the Kidron Valley and up the other side, the Mount of Olives, and they were moving toward the Garden of Gethsemane. And then Jesus stops to talk to them on the way, and he says, "All ye shall be offended in me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep and flock shall be scattered abroad." And Jesus was quoting from Zechariah, and all the men knew that. That was the night of the scattering, the smiting, and the running away, and the sheep being all shattered and gone. And this was no accident about to happen, because Zechariah had prophesied it was going to happen. It was a prophecy. And the 11 disciples knew not what was about to happen. They were undoubtedly troubled, and Judas had left them. He'd gone now. And there was strange talk about death, and then about this smiting and this scattering, and they didn't know what to think. And then Jesus warns them. He prepares them. Jesus does that all the time. He tells us. He doesn't spring things on us. He warns us, and he helps us. And he says, "All ye shall be offended in me this night." After I'm raised, I'll go before you into Galilee. Jesus is telling them, your scattering will not be the last thing. There will be a gathering. You're going to be scattered, but don't give up your hope. There's going to be coming together again. We're going to get together again. Jesus is telling them, my defeat is not the end. There will be a raising up. There'll be a coming back. This darkness is not all going to be eternal. It's only for a little while. Jesus is encouraging his followers. He's preparing them. This awful thing is going to happen. He's preparing them. He's encouraging them. And Jesus always does that. He's always encouraging us along the way. Jesus knows that what's going to happen. He knows it, but he doesn't. Yeah, but Peter doesn't know. And so he talks about it, and he says Jesus knows. Peter doesn't know, but Peter's going to deny him in a terrible way. John Rippon puts it so well, and he talks about this Jesus. Even though Peter denies him, even though we fail him, even though we go astray, Jesus is never going to desert us. He's going to keep us. And Rippon says, the soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, forever forsake. And so Jesus, he's encouraging his people. And so while he's doing that, then Peter says, he says, if all shall be offended of thee, I will never be offended. Perhaps Peter was proud, he didn't know, but all the disciples forsook him as far as that goes. And Jesus says, verily I say unto thee that this night, look at the immediateness stuff. It's there right at the doorstep. This night, it's not something going to happen 100 years from now or could happen whenever. Tonight, he says, this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter says to Jesus, and even if I must die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Jesus were very kind to this man and his followers. And at this point, then it reveals the first step in his awful failure. The first step down is taking place. And the first step was Peter was just too self-confident. He was too sure of himself. Instead of trusting Jesus, listening to Jesus, he was trusting in himself. He says, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And I'm sure that Peter meant that with all of his heart. He wasn't just saying something to make Jesus feel better. He was in his heart. He was willing to die. And the others said the same thing. They would all die with him. Peter, Jesus is telling him, Peter, I have knowledge. I know what you will do. It's though Peter's saying, I do not know myself. Why, but of course I know myself. If anybody knows me, I know myself, but you don't know yourself, and I don't know myself, and I don't know what I would do under certain circumstances. So don't be so high and mighty before pride cometh before a fall. But friend, one thing they finally found out is Peter didn't know himself. He didn't have any idea what he was going to do. He didn't know himself. And see that with Christ and his disciples. And Peter meant it when he said, I will never be offended in thee. He was absolutely sincere, but he didn't know his weakness. He didn't know how little power he had. He didn't know the forces coming against them. He didn't know how dark the darkness could be. It could be bitter darkness. He didn't know how terrible the temptation was going to be. He was sincerely, honestly saying it, but he didn't know. He didn't know at all, nor do you, nor do I. We suppose ourselves to be strong and steadfast when we're feeble and we're unreliable, really. We suppose ourselves to be humble-minded when actually in our hearts we're proud of ourselves. We suppose ourselves to be generous when we're self-seeking and have selfishness is there. We suppose ourselves to be devout when we're really unspiritual. We suppose ourselves to be near to God when actually we're far off. Peter supposed, but Jesus Christ knew the heart. And remember what God says. God, man looketh upon the outward appearances. God looketh upon the heart. And this also, this man, he didn't know himself. And don't trust ourselves too much. Lean on Jesus. And this also shows us how far a good man can fall. Christ said he would build his church upon Peter's great confession. And that great confession was, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, I'm going to build my church on that statement that you made, Peter, because he is the Son of God. And though he was so high and so he was so close to Christ, he utterly failed him. It is not the lofty, but the lowly that stand on safe ground in the kingdom of God. Never be too proud of what we can do or can't do, because we don't know. And notice this too, how steep the descent of sin. It seems ever so slight at the start. He's just fooling around and talking around and walking around in this palace with these people. But all of a sudden, he's by the fire and warming himself. And all of a sudden, he's in the fire and he denies God. That fast, he denies Jesus. It didn't take a week or a month or a year, but it took seconds, minutes. And he fell that far and that fast. And oh, my dear friends, look at that. Look at Peter from self-confidence to a half-hearted following, and from a half-hearted following to an untruthful denial of his Lord. And from that, he fell there in more deliberate denial, and it was repeated. And finally, he swears up and down he doesn't know anything about Jesus Christ. So we're told in 1 Corinthians 10:13, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Someone has written, blessed Savior, make me humble. Take away my sinful pride. In myself I'm sure to stumble. Help me stay close by thy side. Yes, yes, the first thing was he was too self-dependent on himself. And then we want to look at the second thing. He neglected his prayer life. He didn't pray. You know the story. He's in Gethsemane. And God says to, he takes Peter, James, and John. And he says, tarry ye here and watch with me. Pray with me. And then Jesus goes and prays. And then all of a sudden he cometh unto his disciples, findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And so he wakes him up. And then he goes off and Jesus goes to pray. And then he comes again and he came and found them sleep again. Their eyes were heavy. And Jesus said, let that go. Take your rest. The hour has come that the man of God, the man is Jesus, is going to be crucified and go to his cross. Peter slept when he should have prayed. And I wonder how much time you pray, friends. I wonder how much time I pray. I know I watch that television all more than I should. You read the newspaper a lot more than you read the Bible sometimes. And we were asleep when we should have been praying. God tells us in Mark 14, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. He tells us in 2 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. He tells us in Colossians, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. He says in Ephesians 6, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. He tells us in Romans, rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Don't relax. Don't go to sleep when you should be praying. And this is wonderful Jesus. We just have to... Jesus, he went to pray so many times, and he would send the disciples away to do something, and he went up to the mountain to pray all by himself. Oh, we need to pray. And I want to tell you, friends, pray in the morning if they possibly can. It'll set the tone for the whole day. Get up a little extra early and pray in the morning. Read your Bible and pray. Somebody put it this way. I met God in the morning when the day was at its best, and his presence came like sunshine, like a glory in my breast. All day long his presence lingered. All day long he stayed with me, and we sailed in perfect calmness o'er a very troubled sea. So I think I know the secret learned from many a troubled way. You must seek him in the morning if you want him through the day. And so Peter didn't pray. And then the third thing, Peter didn't stay close to Jesus. The scriptures tell us Peter followed afar off. Peter's love and faith never failed him. He loved Jesus no matter what happened, and he had faith in Jesus, yes. At least he followed the Lord, and when it was at a distance, Jesus told him a little time before this, he says, Satan asked to have you. Jesus telling Peter, Satan asked to have you. Now, I don't know when that conversation took place or how it took place, but it took place. Satan asked to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I made a supplication for thee that thy faith fail not. And sure enough, his courage failed. His faith in what he thought Jesus would accomplish failed, but his faith never failed. Not once. This experience of Peter reminds me of the first Psalm. It's a description of Christ. The Psalm 1 is a picture of Jesus Christ. And it says, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In a negative sort of way, there's a description of Peter that night. It's walking, standing, and sitting. There was a progression. It was downward. Walking, he followed afar off. Standing, he went into the court and stood among them. And sitting, he sat with the officers by the fire to warm himself. Sometimes we are hard with Peter because he followed afar off. But at least he was there. At least he was following. And if Peter could speak, he would say, I was there because I loved him. I wanted to see the end. I was disappointed. He was not something that I thought he was going to do. I thought he was going to overthrow the Roman Empire, and they're going to Roman Empire. The Romans are going to crucify him. And it was totally different, but he still loved Jesus. He still loved him. And I can tell you, the love is curious because he walked with him, and he walked with him, and he talked with him. But Peter started to drift away, and he didn't stay close to Jesus where he should have. And then finally he entertained bad company. He sat with the servants of the high priest and warmed himself. He mixed and he mingled with the master's enemies. He walked with the wrong crowd with the wrong people. I'm going to tell you something. Peter's teaching us something. You watch your company. You watch the people you travel with. You young people, you pick Christian friends. Don't you say, well, I'm the only Christian in the group. I'm going to convert them. You won't convert a thing. You'll fall in the fire and you'll do like Peter did. You pick your company. You pick your friends. And when you have your little children in school, you pick their friends and you guide their friends. But when they're in high school, you can't pick them so much anymore. And then when they're out of high school, they're on their own. And you people, I'm talking to you, you just be sure that you pick up the people of God and walk with people if under the same flag that you're flying. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The New English Bible translates this to read, Make no mistake. Bad company is the ruin of a good character. Come back to a sober, upright life and leave your sinful ways. There are some who have no knowledge of God. And I'm going to tell you, friends, if you're walking today and you're not close to Jesus and you're walking with the wrong crowd, you just watch out. And as one old country preacher says, you can't run with the dogs without getting fleas. And there you're going to get the fleas. And you're going to be like Peter and you'll rue the day you didn't choose the right company, chose the wrong crowd. And so then it ends, the story ends. He denied Jesus with an oath. So Peter's on the spot. He tries to evade the denial the first time. He says, I know not what thou sayest. All we know and understand that, don't we? We're challenged and we don't want to answer. And so he acts like he doesn't know this little maid is here, see? And I can see that little maid. Here's Peter. He's a fisherman. He's a big guy. He's like these football players, professional football. He's a big, tough thing. And this little scrawny thing comes. She's got skinny old legs. You wonder how they could hold her up. and she's getting a skinny little old thing, and she's shivering and shaking. And just, well, you were, and she's the one that calls that Peter and puts him on the spot, see? And then what do we read? Another maid comes and speaks to Peter, says, this man was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And at this point, Peter puts himself on oath. And he's that's the meaning. He's swearing here. He took an oath. He swore and said he didn't know Jesus Christ. And then the Lord, that challenge came. One man spoke to him, thou also. And she says that first one, thou also was with him. Now, who's the also? Well, Judas was around there somewhere lurking around. He'd already sold out. Satan had entered him. He was on the devil's side, but he was hanging around there. Maybe Judas, maybe Jesus, maybe Peter could see Judas. I don't know. And then John was there, and he went to the cross. So that from the cross, Jesus could ask him to take care of his mother, Mary. And Judas, because John was the one that had the heart, the big heart, John, the big heart. And that's who Jesus gave him to. And so then this poor Peter, there he is, he denies. He comes to the lowest part. And then it was that Peter added curses to the oath. I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't see him. I'm not with him, all that. And then he comes where he's swearing. And he's giving an oath. And an oath was something you should never break. And he was making that oath is just like saying, I'm putting my hand on the Bible. God is my witness. I don't know this man. Long ago, Jesus had told Peter, Peter, Satan will sift you. And now Satan is sifting. Peter is as weak as water, and he runs like grain through the devil's fingers. He's just as weak as he can be, that big, strong Peter, that man who loved the Lord. And there he is now, the devil's playing with him. Someone has said, Peter shut the door to all the upper things and opened it all to the downward things. Peter was finding himself out. He thought he was so strong. He thought that others would fall, but he wouldn't, though all the others fall. Now Peter is finding out for himself. He's discovering he's not that all that strong. He is discovering that he's not as strong as he supposed. He's saddened and he's heartsick. He's failed Jesus, and he goes out and he weeps bitterly. That big, strong man crying like a baby. You're just heart aches for him. And I'm thinking there may be some of you today and you denied Jesus. Maybe you did it with an oath and swore you didn't know. Maybe you just kept quiet and you didn't say anything and you denied him. Maybe you're going with the wrong crowd. Oh, God is calling you like Peter. And he's saying, I'm praying for you. And we're praying for you. And what are we praying? That you come to Jesus. And you say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. And I'm sorry what I did. I blew it the other night. That's what Peter says. I blew it. I had my chance. And I failed. But dear Jesus, I want to come back to you. And will you take me back? And you remember the story of the prodigal son. Dad's arms whole. His dad ran to meet him. And he smelled like a pig. And he crushed. Hold him to his breast. And that's what you can do. Come to Jesus. Dear Jesus, say, just tell him your sins and then ask him to forgive you. And then promise that you'll forsake your evil ways. You'll turn from your evil ways and you'll walk with him. And then write to us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'll send you literature. And you need to help us. If you think this is something God is using, then you've got to pray for us and you've got to help us financially. So just jar loose a little bit and help us out and put the gospel to the whole world. Christian Worship Hour, and all of you on shortwave, Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want the new songs, and ask for that. And when you send your money, remember we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. It's all accounted for. Now I want to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm praying. We're praying today for those that walked with you and have drifted away and that they'll come back. We're praying for those who have never accepted you. They've never made that decision, and today they're making that decision all over the world. Thousands upon thousands of people are coming to you. And dear Jesus, we just pray that you'll help them. We pray for the children, Lord. We pray for the young people. Keep them from temptation, Lord. We're praying for those middle-aged people that are having a hard time to make ends meet. Bless them and the old people, the old gray heads, Lord. You love them. You carry us just like you carry the lambs. And so to help them to love you and trust you and know that you're there. And Lord, we'll give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So thank you for opening your doors for us today. And thanks for praying for us, and we'll pray for you. Now, next week, we're going to look at Peter, and he comes back to Jesus. And, oh, that's a thrilling story. Don't you miss that. And it's such a good sermon, you'll stay awake during it. I just know. So you children, just pray for us. Help us. God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. And what more can you ask? God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.